The parable Jesus told in the New Testament, the 10 bridesmaids. How many of you heard that for the first time this morning? There's a danger in beginning to hear a scripture and saying, oh, I know this one, and tuning out. I speak from experience. And yet if we pause and we really look and grab a hold of things, we realize Christ talks to us over and over again with new messages, new ways of living and understanding, new inspiration, and renews our connection to the Lord. Amen? So, preparation for waiting. Five bridesmaids run out of oil. The parable obviously is about waiting for Christ's coming. He's the bridegroom, and they're waiting for his arrival. And some are prepared and have extra oil, and some have not, and they run out of oil. And the ending is kind of harsh. The ones who ran out of oil, they get there later, and the door is closed. So if you're not in tune with and connected with and ready, it's not going to go well. It is a reminder, for me at least, that things don't go according to our timetable, but more by God's timetable. I was noticing that when we had communion. Neo and I were at the table, and I just realized how very much the Tongans can teach us about letting go of some of our anxiety about time and agenda. Now, in our modern society, with connecting online and cameras and connecting people and doing everything that has to come together, we're now timing things down to the millisecond. Computers talking in nanoseconds. It can become its own set of handcuffs. It can constrain us. But nonetheless, we tend to want to be in control, and especially of things with time. And here are the bridesmaids that are aware that it's not up to them to determine time. And it is not up to us to say, this is how it should go here and now. The wise bridesmaids are willing to prepare, knowing that it might be a long wait. It might be a long, dark night before we see the dawn. We pause and don't always acknowledge that God is in our midst, especially when it comes to injustices. I see that at time and again where an injustice has occurred, and the news, which is instantaneous and everywhere, finds the people who have been impacted, and they are eager for justice, for vengeance. It may not come in our time, but God always will be the judge at the end of time, and everyone will meet the judge in God's time. Do we have the bridesmaids up there? Miss Paya, can we? So that was the first, I couldn't find any real good pictures of the 12 bridesmaids. And I was hunting around for fine art, and none of the great artists apparently have done much with it. But there are the five, and they're five. But it was another painting that drew my attention. Paya, could we go to the next painting? Next slide. No, that's Amos. I think we have sleeping bridesmaids in there. Do we have sleeping bridesmaids? No. All right, so we don't. That's all right. You might see on the left-hand side there are some that are seated. But there was another picture I found, and they were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, and they had fallen asleep. It's interesting to pause and to acknowledge that phrase and to realize that it might be possible for us to fall asleep in our faith, in our journeys, in our attendance to God and God's call to us. we have been noticing in our churches diminishing numbers. It is not just this church. It is not just the United Methodist Church. It's all churches. It is all organizations. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Elks, Moose, Masons, they are all seeing a decline in people who are a part of that gathering. Some of that has to do with commitment, I suppose. I don't know for sure. But there's a common terminology now going around. If you get a survey, they'll ask you, or check a box. Are you Christian? Are you Muslim? Are you Jewish? Are you another faith? Or are you none of the above? And the majority are now marking the none of the above. So we call them nuns. Not N-U-N-S, as is the habit. But nuns as in N-O-N-E-S. Intriguingly, even amongst the nuns, the majorities are still believers. They believe, but the vessel that helps them connect isn't there. They are not a part of any church, because our churches are human endeavors that are full of failures and mistakes and missteps and divisions and hubris and everything else that we do wrong. And so a lot of people fall away from churches. It's dangerous to acknowledge that they have not connected with us. And the next part of that is it may be dangerous for us if we do not acknowledge that they are still out there and we need to connect. The book of Amos, one of the minor prophets. You know, there's major prophets and minor prophets in the Old Testament, and you don't have to be familiar with all of those, but there are different ones of them. He was an 8th century prophet, and he was talking about a set of people who God is pretty angry with. Did you get that? But God is speaking through Amos, and he's talking about people who have fallen asleep, just like the bridesmaids. They have become prosperous. Life is good, and you don't need to pray to God when everything's going well. In fact, I know a couple of families that I used to know that now we don't go to church because they ask us to put money in the offering plate, and I worked hard for this money. I myself earned this, and I don't think I should be giving it to a church. Now, I don't want to argue with them at that point, but some of them are very gifted and talented people, and I want to ask them, where do you think you got your gifts and talents from? Diana's talking about revamping the wreaths, and she excluded me from inviting me to help work on them. Did you hear that? If you have any artistic ability, she said. And right there, I checked this, none. I am not an artist. I can do stick figures if I get lucky. It's been that way my whole life. I am just not gifted there. Sometimes I can make computers do things I want. Sometimes I can make machines work. That's part of my gift. Maybe being a pastor is part of my gift. I don't know. I'm waiting to find that out. Time will tell. But Amos is pretty harsh as he tells the people what God has explained to them, that some of those who have prospered are prospering while others are suffering. Alas, to you who desire the day of the Lord, it is not light, it is darkness. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear. Holy mackerel, my dad told a story. He was hiking on Grand Mesa. And he came around a bend, and there were two bear cubs eating berries. And he froze, and every sense of his was heightened. And he said, I could feel the wind blowing in my face. He said, that helped. And then he looked, and further down the path was Mama Bear. And he said, so I just stepped backwards till I was completely out of sight and earshot. And he said, and then I quickly made my way to the truck. You want to talk about the 100-yard dash. don't ever come between a mama bear and her cubs, whether that's bears or mamas or what, we will go down then. You went into a house and you rested your hand against the wall and were bitten by a snake. These are ill things. These are not good news. God is not helping them out. And they come and they worship and they celebrate and make a joyful noise. And God says, I will not listen to the melodies of your harps. They make offerings for their sin. They make tributes. They apologize and they come and offer grain offerings and offerings and atonement. I will not accept them, God says. These people are, they're on the naughty list. There is no question. It's bleak. You can understand why people would not want to invite Amos to the party, social gatherings. Amos does not bring glad tidings. Amos is bringing the words of God that are bad news. But there is hope. Did you hear that, hope? But do justice. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's the call. Whatever else has been going on, whatever else, get involved with helping those others. Simple words, do justice, pursue righteousness. Hard to do. Not easy to achieve in any way we look at it. I can't help wondering as I was putting this together, I thought, isn't that what loving one another really is? Is caring about justice, caring about righteousness. Those others who are experiencing, if we truly loved them, we would do something to help them. And so there sits Jesus' first commandment. As I was poking around, I was poking for pictures to fit in with some of this going on. And you're familiar with the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. We've got, oh, there's the sleeping. Did you just find it, Paya? Is she good or what? Thank you, Paya. That's the prophet Amos. And there's the Sistine Chapel, and I've always marveled at that. You're familiar with that. Some of you have maybe been there. How many of you have been able to see that in person? Golly, I'd love to go. But I thought it's all the Bible stories, it's all kinds of stuff, including myths, included in the ceiling. I'd like to sit and stare at them and figure them out. And so I kind of did some studying, and I got pretty lost pretty quickly. But nonetheless, this one's pretty straightforward. God inspiring life into Adam. Creation out of chaos, out of the nothingness and the disorder on all things, God brought humanity. So I found another picture. Could we have the next slide there? Is that familiar to any of you this morning? Front of your bulletin. I printed it there and I sat and I stared at that and I thought, this is kind of an interesting sort of thing. This is like the Sistine Chapel, isn't it? It is that connection between God down at the bottom here and I assume that's humanity on the other side. And that bothered me. So the next slide, I flipped it. And now, did we get both slides? So here now, God, I believe God has got to be up at the top and humanity striving for. And so there's Adam. You see, they're reaching out for each other. God is and Adam is trying to reach. And look how Adam is doing that. There's a pyramid of people building up a ladder, holding him up, supporting him, moving him up. And I thought in that, I said there's something very important about that. And as we think about how we're responding and not falling asleep and doing righteousness and justice and all of that, I thought, there's one piece that we need to be careful to reflect. And that is, we don't do it alone. Here it is together. In churches, we do it as a community, hopefully, theoretically. But in whatever endeavors, we may not be able to achieve much alone. I know of people who say, well, I like to go and worship. I go by myself and find nature and connect with God. And I understand that. I do the same thing at times. But to do the will and the work of our Lord, we are called to do righteousness and justice, to love one another. And we might not be able to achieve much by ourselves, but we can together. We can as a group gather together. And it's essential that we decide how and where to do that, and that we invest in doing that to love one another, so that we might do what God called us to do. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Today, this day, there are injustices all around. Today, there are divisions all around. Today, we are caught up in a nation now that is taking different protesters from the two different nations in the Middle East who are in conflict, and it appears that one has to take sides. I refuse. I will not be caught up in that militant that debate between them. But I will find ways to be in loving relationship to all of them. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. May it be so. Amen.